This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, did you see how President Trump said all the pardons that were issued by Joe Biden are void? Biden used an auto pen to sign his acts of clemency. So I don't know exactly. We're going to talk to Brad Young in the next hour about some of the legalities. But Carolyn Leavitt had a good day in the briefing room. Here, listen to this.
We're talking about issuing...
Let me identify here just because it always helps. This is Caitlin Collins, who, just one of the worst. But anyway, here we go.
We're talking about issuing preemptive pardons to these people.
But was he aware of his signature being used on every single pardon? That's a question you should ask the Biden White House.
Is there any evidence on that he wasn't aware of it?
You're a reporter. You should find out.
That's like, was there any? Yeah, these are the same group of people that sat in that room every day for 4 years.
And they never really asked any question about the guy
that's drooling in the Oval Office. This is another one. This is a mic drop as well.
There is now a member of the European Parliament from France who does not think the U.S. represents the values of the Statue of Liberty anymore. They want the Statue of Liberty back. So is President Trump going to send the Statue of Liberty back to France?
Absolutely not. And my advice to that unnamed low-level French politician would be to remind them that it's only because of the United States of America that the French are not speaking German right now. So they should be very grateful to our great country.
Yeah, that's right.
Great.
Thank you, Kenny Wallace. I love that. Carolyn, having a very, very good day. Former Senator John Lapping, who's a regular on the Reardon Roundtable, is with us to talk some politics this afternoon. John, how are you? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. Spring is here. All my fields are turning green. It's ready for March Madness.
Yeah, absolutely we are. And we'll talk plenty of basketball this week. There's no doubt about that. What did you think, by the way? I'm going to talk to Brad about this. I don't know too much about the legal aspects of trying to stop the pardons. Any thoughts on that? That's interesting maneuver, isn't it?
Well, I think it I don't know the legal aspects either. I'll be listening in when Brad calls in. But there's so much that we're learning about the Biden administration that it was obvious to people like you and I and all your listeners that the guy was senile. And to the extent that these things start to come out and this light is shed on them. And look, I know there's one set of pardons where he was like in the Virgin Islands or something. He wasn't even in the country and they all got signed that day. And I think what Trump's doing is he's asking questions that reporters should be asking. I think the public is just, it's just another, we're all piling on with more and more things about the Biden administration that need to be brought out. I think this was a really intriguing one.
It is intriguing. But in the meantime, what the legacy media wants to do is they want to hammer Trump. They want to talk about this Mahmoud Khalil guy that they want him as a terrorist to stay in this country. They want to talk about the tariffs. They want to talk about the stock market when it's down. They don't want to talk about it when it's up. So they're hitting him on every single front here. And then meantime, John, this is just us. The approval ratings come out for President Trump and they're like in an all-time high. So I don't know when Caitlin Collins, CNN, and the teams at the legacy media will kind of start to understand where the country is on many of these issues, but maybe soon. I mean, we can just kind of hold out hope.
Well, you know, watching Trump is exhausting. And all I do is watch him. I don't do anything other than that. And the guy can talk three or four times a day with the press, the media on different subjects. He's flying around the world, around the country, answering questions. I don't think the media can keep up with him. And try as they might, you know, this guy, you know, he campaigned almost 60 straight days at the end of his campaign where he didn't really sleep more than a handful of hours at night. And I just think he's going to wear him down. And it's a white flag time with the media. And having said all that, the media is what the media is, but I think the whole alternative media, podcasting, things like that, I think that they've passed the mainstream media by, and they just can't keep up with them.
I think we're finding that out for sure. All right, let me take you back to Friday. Chuck Schumer caves on Thursday. They passed the CR, no government shutdown. I had Congressman Onder on the show at the Fish Fry on Friday. I think a lot of Republicans weren't thrilled with the specifics of the bill, but they decided to get it done so as to not shut down the government. But thoughts on that, John?
Well, in all my time in politics, it's always been the Republicans are the ones that don't want to vote for the horrible CR, and they threatened to shut the government down. And Ted Cruz actually did shut the government down back in 2011. And Schumer was on the other side, you know, throwing stones at them. And I never thought he had no option but to let the CR pass. By the way, it was just all Biden's budget, the one that he put forward and he agreed to just last fall. So it just the Democratic Party is whatever this thing is now that is Democratic Party is not set up to win elections. It's going to have to reform itself or do something different. Or we're on the front end of a very long Senate period of time where Republican thinking and will dominate the political sphere in my mind.
So on the on the tariffs and the economy, though, and you're in the financial world. So I'm very curious about your thoughts on that in particular, because some of us want to see the 401ks continue to grow. I pointed out last week, because the media wants to focus on the downtime. Look, the Dow sat at 22,000 in October. So this is not exactly new territory. It dropped to that number. There's no doubt that the Dow grew and Wall Street had some pretty good years here the last few years. But there is a little jitteriness on the economy right now.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things. Like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, and there should be, and quite frankly, the reasons why there should be are reasons that are things that I'm happy with. The system has been set up 30, 40 years to benefit corporations, to benefit shareholders, to benefit real estate owners, and it primarily centers around our trade policy where we were willing to engage in trade around the globe that allowed our competitors to produce and for us to buy at a low price. And the net result is the middle class lost all their opportunities that they had as we shipped all these industries overseas. At the same time we were doing that, we had unfettered immigration. And the Trump administration they're determined to set the country on a very different economic path. It's one that will benefit the middle class, and the middle class owns some stocks, but not like the upper middle class and above does. It's to benefit the middle class to allow them to have good, high-paying jobs and have them not be competing with illegal immigrants. And so the system that was reflected in the stock market price is that's been the dominant system. And if Trump and Scott Besser, the Treasury Secretary, are successful with their Treasury policy and their foreign policy, it'll be a whole different universe of companies that'll benefit. It may not be the ones that are at the front of the line right now in the stock market. So anything can happen in the stock market in any circumstance, but this is a very big change the administration is trying to make with how our economy operates, and it's going to be some serious bumps in the road.
Yeah. So I want to get your reaction. This is former Senator John Lamping. Just to this, one of my favorite guests is Batya Yunger-Sargon. I know you've heard her on here. She's a contributor to Newsweek. She is what I refer to as one of my favorite reform liberals. She was on Bill Maher's show again over the weekend. Now, look, I come at politics and always have from a very conservative philosophy. I've sort of described it as more conservative libertarian philosophy, but smaller government. I've been there since the beginning with Ronald Reagan. You're a very conservative Republican and have been. But listen to how Batya describes herself and where this leaves the rest of America, maybe you and I right now, this time in politics.
We're approaching 2 months in. I mean, you must have a feeling in your gut. Look me in the eye and tell me you don't, that this is really going badly and I shouldn't have thrown my lot in with this team.
Yeah, so Bill expects maybe Batya to say, yeah, you know what? I'm having some buyer's remorse.
Oh, no, I feel the opposite.
All right. Tell me why.
I'm so sorry, Bill.
No, tell me why.
No, I feel so proud of, I mean, I was never a Republican or a conservative. I was a leftist, and I am still a leftist. I'm just a MAGA leftist now because...
That makes no sense.
Please do. When I look at what President Trump ran on and the agenda that he's enacting right now, he took a Republican Party that was built on social conservatism, foreign interventions and wars, and free trade and free markets. And he basically took an axe to all of those. During the campaign, he said, look, I mean, he's pretty pro-gay. That's pretty obvious. He appointed the highest ranking out gay person, Scott Bessent, our Secretary of Treasury, which is incredible.
So, you know, she goes on, but she's not wrong about that. So how do you think all of that fits in with modern politics, though? Because the coalitions are very different than they used to be.
Well, that's what I was talking about before. That's exactly right. The Republican Party today is not the Republican Party even 10 years ago. This is an entirely different approach to things, and she's spot on. Like, our approach to trade had devastating effects for the average person, the middle class person, and how this country is going to go forward. Obviously, the old system allowed for massive government deficits, government spending, outsourcing of all those jobs, artificially low interest rates. And it benefited people who own things. They own real estate, own corporations, own the stock market. And what Trump is trying to do, Scott Besser is trying to do, is they're trying to create a place, a country where we produce the things we consume and that the benefit accrues to the people that are here working and looking to grow and expand the middle class. I mean, I saw the article I saw the interview you just played, and you know, she's mentioned the fact that, you know, as a percentage share of GDP, the middle class had almost twice of what they have today back in the 70s, and essentially were sold out by their betters and the elites. And this is a really difficult thing that they're trying to do, but it's going to take the juggernaut that is the Trump administration to try to get it done. They'll be fought every step of the way, and I'm praying that they're successful, because the way we were going forward could not continue to be. Scott Besser, the Treasury Secretary, actually said the easiest thing for us to do was to keep doing exactly what Biden was doing, which is deficit spend $2 trillion a year and let all our donors get super wealthy. And that's all that was happening. So I'm really grateful for the change.
Hey, before I let you go, just Mike Kehoe, the new governor, is going to join me in the 5 o'clock hour. He held a news conference last week in the aftermath of the passage of the police control bill. Nick Schroer was on the roundtable on Friday. That was something that was shepherded very effectively through the legislature. And now we have a police commission once again in St. Louis, or will.
Yeah, that's great. It's not going to make a hill of beans difference unless the people who leave the city and then ultimately leave St. Louis County and they get serious about crime. I don't know if you saw the videos over the weekend.
I did.
Sue,
did you see the videos over the weekend?
No.
Address this. Jane was, it was just masses of people and a mob of people just doing, you know, stupid crap.
Oh, great.
A bunch of kids and stuff, and no cops that were seen in the video.
It was down at Keener Plaza. We spent millions of dollars to upgrade Keener Plaza. It's right across the street from hotels, and the reason that, you know, we announced population loss again last week, and I guess the city lost another 3,700 people, and they're closing schools because children's population is declining even faster. And so, yeah, that's great that Mike did what he did. That was his promise, and I'm glad they did it. But it doesn't make a hill of beans difference unless leadership changes and these people get serious about what's going on downtown.
I disagree with you on that. And what happened, I'm glad you brought up what happened on Friday night because it was outrageous. Thank you, John. I will see you soon. Enjoy the week and the weather.
Yeah, see you on Friday.
Go to, that's right, he's on the roundtable on Friday, so that'll be good. He'll be there at
that's great.
The Assumption Paris in South County. Yeah, so if you go to Jane's, I don't think I retweeted any of this, but if you go to Jane's Twitter feed, you'll see these images from Keener Plaza where dozens of kids and mobs are just kind of swarming around. Now, we're a week away. You know, this is hard to believe, but opening day is just a week away. And typically, there might be a little bit better security around Busch Stadium. But I'll tell you, as someone who walks between Busch Stadium and where we sit right now, which is not too far from City Hall, I don't ever see police. And I don't even think that you have very many at Keener Plaza. So what happens when something like this, you know, takes place when there's a bunch more people downtown? I don't know. And maybe we don't have to worry about that because no one's going to the Cardinals game. So there's something to that. But I think what we saw on Friday night, so it's just the same thing when, it's just time and time again the same thing. When Janae lost her legs, there's crime and criminals and people that should not be out that are parading around downtown, and there's no consequences for them, and they know that there's no consequences, and that's part of the problem. There's no police in sight. So to Lamping's point, there needs to be more changes than just six members on a police commission, for sure. We're coming back. Actually, I think it's five. Coming back with more. Hang on. Sue's News after the top of the hour.